What is every 4 years?
Good evening to everyone. A special honor for me to be part of such a wonderful Chabura. I'm sure you after a long day of work, tiring day of work, and I'm impressed to see how after a long day working, instead of sitting on your couch relaxing, you come to the Beis HaMikdash to hear Shiur HaTorah. What greater schus can it be to spend your time in Limud HaTorah? It should be a big schus for all of you, a schus for yourselves, for your families, for your children, and you should have lots of bracha and siyata deshmaya and all in your own.
What's your name?
My name is Menashe Zamora, and I learn in the Kollel from Rabbi Artumim and Diane Krauss. So there's something very unique about the concept of halacha, learning halacha and gaining more knowledge in halacha. And I'll explain with the introduction first with the Vilna Gaon in Mishlei. So Vilna Gaon says that every person came to this world with the tafkid, with the tachlis. He has a mission in this world. Now, it used to be, in the time of Nevi'im, we had Nevi'im to tell us what our mission is in this world. So we went to the Navi, and he would tell us what everyone's mission is. Today, we don't have Nevi'im. So how can we know what every single one of our mission is? Says the Vilna Gaon, we don't know. So what's meant to be the main focus of a Yid? If we don't know what our mission is, so what should be our focus? Says the Vilna Gaon, it must be one thing. The main mission must be the idea which he calls Shviras HaMidas, which means the idea of working on one's midas. And just briefly explaining what he means, just a little bit down to earth. So we all born with certain midas tendencies, natures, which pull us in a direction against the Torah and the mitzvahs. Let's say we're all born with laziness, and we have tendency to want to just relax and take things easy. The idea of Shviras HaMidas is to push oneself the extra bit more and say, we'll do that bit more and go against our nature. That's the idea of Shviras HaMidas. As well, we have tendency when people can frustrate us or make us feel either frustrated or angry with them. Different type of situations can arouse those type of feelings, and naturally a person will be upset or get angry. The idea of Shviras HaMidas is to try and control oneself and stay calm and try to still act patiently towards others. That's the concept of Shviras HaMidas. As the Vilna Gaon, today we don't have Nevi'im to tell us what our mission is, but what everyone knows that the nature, everyone can know that the nature they're born with, they have to work as much as possible against the natures which are not good natures. And in this way, hopefully one day we'll reach a madrega of what she calls Shleimus HaMidas, the completion of in all good midas. That's the main focus of a person. So having said that, maybe we should be spending our times more, when we have time to learn a bit more, learning Orchas Tzadikim or Mesilas Yeshorim. Why is it that we spend so much time on Gemara and Halacha? Having said what the Vilna Gaon says, maybe our focus should more be on learning the Avodas HaMidas. So really, the answer is like this. The answer is it's true what the Vilna Gaon is saying, that the main focus is Avodas HaMidas. But the thing is, one cannot know from just learning Avodas HaMidas itself, one wouldn't reach too far. I would like to explain it a little bit with the Medrash in Medrash Tanchum and Parshas Bechukosai. The Medrash says like this: a person can be a tzaddik, which means that he works on his midas. But if he doesn't know Torah, he doesn't know any halachas, these are ma'orats, then all the midas won't get him anywhere. And the Medrash explains and with the example of Yiftach. Who was Yiftach? Yiftach was the big star tzvo, and he was battling. In the middle of a battle, he wasn't sure we're winning the battle or losing the battle. And at some point, he davened to the Bein Shvelim and he said, if you make me win this war, then I make a neder, whoever comes out from my house on my way home, the first I'll bring oil to Hashem. Yiftach all his life worked on the concept of emes. A word is a word. You say something, you stick to your word. He was a tzaddik. In his eyes, it's a tzaddik. He won the battle, and he came home all excited. And then he had a big shock when he saw his daughter coming out from the door. And the pasuk says he tore his clothes, and he was betar, and his daughter didn't understand what's going on. You won the battle or you didn't? So he said, I must tell you, I made a neder, and it's not simple. I must keep my word. My neder is that whoever comes towards me is a oiler.
So what does it mean, it's your oiler?
Very good. Oh. A carbon oiler, that means an offering to Hashem. He thought that
that's
possibly...
a terrible thing to say
exactly.
By anybody.
So,
he didn't know who
he could
be.
He thought it would be an animal.
He hoped it would be a sheep or a cow. And he was trying to say, like, he was trying to say that the nicest, any cow, even my nicest cow or my nicest whatever it should be, he didn't think that it would be. Oh, very good. So Yiftach said, I'm a tzaddik. All my life I kept the truth, so I have to go ahead and do what I promised. And she begged him and said, please, maybe that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem doesn't want to bring karbonos to people. We know that from Avom, Yitzhak. So please try and reconsider. And whatever she said, it didn't help. And he said, a word is a word, I must keep my word. So in his mind, he was being moisel nefesh on the concept of emes. I'm being moisel nefesh for the concept of emes. But says the Medrash, he made a big mistake. Because what was his mistake? He was a tzaddik, but he didn't have Torah. Because if he would have learned, like you said, if he would have learned the psukim of Hilchas HaTorahs Nedarim, he would know that this is a typical example of a Pesach. Very good. You go to a Chacham and you tell him, if I would have known when I made the neder that my daughter would have come, obviously I never would have made the neder. Says the Medrash that Yiftach, however much he tried to be Sholem in his midas, but because he didn't know the halacha, it doesn't get you anywhere. So instead of the midas getting him to be a tzaddik, it made him into a murderer. So this is the explanation. When the Vilna Gaon tells us that our main avoid is the tikkun midas, we need to know that tikkun midas, we can only know the correct way of tikkun midas if we know the halachas of Torah, and then we can apply it accordingly. There is, just Agav talking about Yiftach, there's a discussion, it's not clear in the Pesukim what happened in the end with the daughter. The Gemara in Tana sounds like that he brought her as an offering, but the Pesukim and the Meforshim on the Pesukim all say that he locked her up in the tower till the end of her life, she couldn't get married and anything, and she had to stay there herself. So another example, this is what we're going to be talking about tonight, Be'ez Hashem, on this concept of... We need to have the halacha to tell us how to work on our midas, is the concept of the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen. So I'd like to bring Neda talk a little bit about these halachas. So without the Torah telling us the halachas of Shiluach HaKen, with our midas of Rachmonos, I think we would have approached the whole concept very differently to how the Torah is going to tell us, and we're going to have a look at it. So first I'd like to, just a quick overview of the halachas of Shiluach HaKen, and then we'll go on to the Choshemishpot aspect, where is it Nagia? So I'll start with the Pasuk, but I'll translate straight away to English. The Pasuk says, when a person happens to find, a nest of birds, whether he's on his way, he finds it on the way, on the floor, in a tree, on the ground, and the nest is made out of either little chicks or eggs, and the mother bird is the one present, guarding and sitting on its young. Says the Pasuk, one mustn't take the mother bird together with its young, but rather you should first send away the mother bird, and only afterwards can you take its young. And the Torah says you should do this, leman yitavloch v'arachta yomim, which Chazal say, leman yitavloch v'arachta yomim, is talking about in Olam Habo. The main schar for this is an Olam Habo. Yes, some say that it's a skula to do it in this world, even for arichas yomim or for having children, but the main schar is for olam havo. So there's many requirements needed to fulfill to be able to perform this mitzvah. Just it's important to note before we start that there's two parts of this mitzvah. There's one issa of taking the mother bird together with its young, and another thing is the special mitzvah of shaleach to shalach haseim. So whenever the criteria is met of all the halachas, firstly, one will not allow to be taking the mother bird together with its young, and secondly, one will be able to perform the mitzvah. If the requirements won't be met, then the mitzvah won't be able to be performed, and there will not be a problem taking the mother bird together with its young. So the first halacha, the Shulchan Aruch says, is that the mitzvah shliach ken is only on the kosher species of birds, which means the mother and its young all have to be kosher. From kosher species. If, however, someone finds a nest of a raven bird sitting on its young, for whatever reason he would want to take it for himself, he doesn't have a mitzvah shiluach haken, he's allowed to take the mother with its young, there's no problem. It's only on kosher species. Further, the pasuk says it has to be that the mother bird is present, sitting, and not the father bird. And that's very important because amongst the species of birds which we have, like pigeons and some others, the nature of these birds is that it's not the mother bird constantly watching. The mother bird is present from around Shkia time till the morning. That's when the mother sits there. And the morning, the father takes over. Father bird comes, takes over. The mother flies away and she only comes back Shkia time. So it's important to note that when we try to perform mitzvah with pigeons, one mustn't do the mitzvah in the day, because the father bird has no mitzvah shliach haken on the father. He might even be doing tzar bal chaim because he's just shooing it away for no reason. So it's important only from shkia till the morning. Now the pasuk tells us what does the mother have to be sitting on? It can be so Chazal say you don't need to have many of them. You can even have just either one egg or one chick is enough. As long as the egg has a potential to hatch, so it can't be a spoiled egg. And the chick has to be a young age that it cannot fly yet. Once it's reached independence that it can fly, then there's no mitzvah shiloh haken anymore. Now, and it's important to know that by birds, generally the birds we have, I think around 10 days, after 10 days after they born, meaning after they came out as a chick, they can start to fly already. So it's a very small window that we have for little chicks. Eggs, however long that takes from the eggs till it hatches, and then from when it hatches, we have about 10 days. Afterwards, once it can fly and it has independence, there's no mitzvah anymore. In regard to the mother bird sitting, as a pasuk uses an interesting lashon of roivetzes, and it doesn't say yosheves, Chazal say that it doesn't have to literally be sitting on it. It can, the mother can even be hovering above, as long as it's touching from above. So, if the mother bird flies up a little high and is not touching anymore, then there's no mitzvah anymore. But if she's touching, that's a very strong level of protection, and only when there's that strong level of protection, that's when the mitzvah can be performed. As well, says the Shulchan Aruch, if it's sitting, the mother sitting next to it, even when it's holding onto it from the side, that wouldn't be good. It has to be a protection from above, touching from above. Now, so say we have everything in place, we have the kosher species and the mother bird is sitting or touching from above. How far does one have to shoo away the mother bird? So one would have thought that the mother would have to reach a distance of outer sight. The halacha is not so. The halacha is as long as she's reached the distance that it's out of reach, meaning if the person would jump up and try and catch the bird, you can't catch it, can't catch her anymore. She's reached that distance, that's already enough. And the Chaznish explains this. Why is that so? Why does it have to be that the mother's out of not out of sight? And he explains that the mother bird generally wants to be hanging around to protect its young. As long as she's in the protective mode, she's going to be hanging around so close that you can still jump up and catch it. Once she's given up and she's in an escape mode, she's going to go a little further. I can't jump up and catch her. And the Torah wants to get the mother in a mode of escape mode rather than a protective mode. As long as she's still in a protective mode, I haven't performed the mitzvah yet fully. So make sure the bird flies away that I can't jump up and catch her. The way of shooing away the mother bird, many poskim say there's no difference how you do it. If you bang on the nest or on the tree, as long as it's clear that it's flying away because of me and not because of the surrounding noise, then I've performed the mitzvah. Now, there's another very fundamental aspect in mitzvah shi'arken. This is the choshe mishpat aspect, is what the Torah calls ki yikorei. If a person happens to find a nest, and Chazal say that ki yikorei is coming to tell us that it's only if you happen to find, and not if it was set up, if the situation was set up. And the Mefarshim, many Mefarshim struggle to understand what exactly is this categorizing, what's it exactly coming to tell us. But the very accepted Mahalach in the Poskim is that all it's trying to tell us is that the birds have to be all Hefka. That means the mother bird and its young all have to be Hefka birds. Ki Kore, you happen to find them, Hefka birds. Prat Lemezumen, not a case when it's mezumen, which means birds which belongs to a private person, don't have the mitzvah shiloh haken. So following this, says the Shulchan Aruch, that a person who has chickens in his back garden, and private, belongs to him, and the chickens laid eggs, he can't perform the mitzvah shiloh haken because it's not hefker, it belongs to the owner. And as well, as we said before, the person can take the mother together with its eggs.
Can you be mafkirt?
Oh, so we're going to have a look at that soon. Can you be mafkirt? So many poskim say that yes, you can be mafkirt. Just in Hefka, one has to be aware that sometimes you need to be mafkirt in front of other people. You can't just do it between yourself. So that's just something to be aware of. Some say that it doesn't help. Shemzan Oyebach says that once it was yours, and it's prat lemezumen, once it became yours already, it won't help to be mafkirt. But many poskim take on that you can be mafkit, and we'll see later on, that's how many people can do shiloh haken on one nest. Say, the first person done shiloh haken, picked up the eggs, now it belongs to him, now he wants to be mafkit again, that the next person can do it. So many poskim say that you can do it. Lemaisa, there are so many details in the halacha of shiloh haken. The poskim say, even though that some say that there is a bracha on shiloh haken, but we don't do the bracha because there's so many. Like the eggs might be spoiled eggs, or could be maybe they could, the birds might be that they can fly already, the little chicks, or whatever reason, maybe you're coining it, so better not to make a bracha, that's the accepted way.
Is there a reason given for shiloh haken?
A reason as in the Tam HaMitzvah?
Yeah.
So it's a very good question.
Why with one you do?
Yes, exactly. So yes, it's true. There are some Mefarshim saying a reason, but we always have to know that when it comes to reasons, it doesn't always fit with all the details. And that means that that's not the only reason. There's much deeper reasons which we don't know. But just a simple reason, the Mishnah says, someone who says, Al kan tzipor yagir rachmecho, Hashem had rachmonos on the birds, meshat kenoisai, because that's not the right approach. That means, the Mefarshim explained that what all it means is that the person is saying that Hashem is sticking up for the right of the birds. Hashem is rachmonos on the birds. And that's not the idea of the mitzvah. But what is the idea of the mitzvah? Hashem wants us to have midas rachmonos. And by us doing acts of rachmonos will make us be more rachmon. But us doing acts of achzoyos makes us more achzoyos. So, all the Mishnah is saying is one mustn't say that Hashem is having rachmonos on the birds, ke'ilu saying the birds have rights, like humans have rights, but no, Hashem doesn't have rachmonos on the birds, Hashem is rachmonos on us, he wants us to be able to have midas rachmonos to be able to perform the mitzvah. But as you say, that to fit all the details, like why would that make a difference if the bird is young or old, that I don't know. So, that was about Hefka and not Hefka birds. So take this bird which belonged to a private person. One day the chicken decides to escape and she runs into the wild and forms a nest there. Now she belongs to Hefka, she's just Hefka. The the owner was Miyayish from it, ran far away. Now it's Hefka, and now there'll be, according to everyone, there'll be the mitzvah Shulach HaKen. The question you were asking is when the person was Mafkit himself. Here, if the bird ran off, she made herself Hefka. Everyone agrees the mitzvah can be performed now. Now let's talk about birds flying in from the wild into a person's back garden. So, say a person has a back garden, protected area, we'll talk about that soon, and a bird comes and starts forming a nest, bird from the wild, and there's some eggs there. Can I perform the mitzvah?
What's the chashash that he's coning it because in this?
Very good. Very, very good.
He has to ask not to then. He's not going to want to if he wants to do the mitzvah.
Very good. You got it all. So basically, you worked out the whole shiur already. So let's just go step by step. The halacha says in Shulchan Aruch that if the bird comes from the wild and forms a nest in my back garden, there is a mitzvah of shiluach haken. I can perform the mitzvah. Now, the big question is, like you asked, that there is a halacha that a person's private domain, if it's a protected area, it acquires items from Hefka to the owner on behalf of the owner, even if the owner is unaware of the item being there. It's called a chotzer hamishtameres, koine le'odom shalei midatei. So let's just a little bit analyze this. What exactly is this chotzer hamishtameres? What level of protection do we need? So it seems from the sugyas, from the poskim, that there's two levels of protection which is needed. There's one benegia to the item itself, that the item should be in a place where there's boundaries, which the boundaries doesn't allow the item getting out. Say if it's an animal, the boundaries are set in a way that it can't just run out. If it's a ball and the domain is on a hill, the boundaries have to be set in a way that the ball can't roll out. There has to be boundaries all around. If it's a very light item, like a, let's say a 20-pound note, the boundaries have to be in a way that the wind can't just blow it out, or just a regular wind, Ruach Mitzuyah, can't just blow it out. So that's one aspect of Shemira regarding to the item itself that should be contained in the domain. Another level of protection is needed, a very basic level of protection in regard to other people. Now, we're not worried about people stealing it, I mean, the Agan of him, but we don't need that level of protection, that people not breaking in. But it has to be a very clear, secluded area that a person who's not a ganav won't just walk in and take the item thinking, oh, this is Hefka, I can take it. It's clearly a private domain, it's closed off. That's considered chotzer hamishtameres. Says the Nesivos based on this, if a person, any domain which has fenced around, even if there's no locks on the fence, is considered a chotzer hamishtameres and it acquires items from Hefka to the owner. So now, the reason why I said back garden is because front garden is not always fully secluded. I would say that it might not, if there's a driveway, it might be very open. Or even if it does have a gate, proper gate, some people's front garden is a Rishus Rabim, like let's say the Rav. I'm sure many people are just coming in and out to him for Shailas. So that wouldn't be a chotzer hamishtameres. Again, we're not worried of people stealing it, but if it's a Rishus Rabim or people coming in and out, so people would think, oh, someone else dropped it and it was Miyayish already, so it doesn't belong to the owner, so I can take it. It's not considered protected. So that's why we chose a back garden which is secluded. So now going back to our bird which formed the nest in one's back garden, the question really is that regarding the mother bird, so she can come and go freely, the boundaries are not protecting her from not flying away. However, the little eggs which she lays, the eggs can't fly, so they protected in this domain. As well, the little chicks, we said, are the age that they cannot fly yet. So really, the chotzer should acquire these little chicks on behalf of the owner. Now it's no more hefka, so how can one perform the mitzvah? The Shulchan Aruch says one can perform the mitzvah on hefka birds flying in my back garden. So the Gemara really asked this question, and the Gemara answers that really, as long as the mother bird is sitting on its young, there is an issa of taking the eggs. The Pasuk tells us first, Shaleach to Shalach Zoraim, and only afterwards can you take the eggs. As long as she's there, I'm not allowed to take the eggs. Same way that I have an issa, Aveira, to take it, I mustn't. My chotzer is not going to acquire it on my behalf if it's an issa. So as long as the mother bird is still there, from when she laid the eggs, she's still sitting there, Chotzo will never be koine to Mac.
Can you go into someone else's garden if you see the eggs being laid and go do it because this chotzo wasn't koine for him?
That's a very, very good point. That's a very good point. I need to think about that. I'll tell you what, you can't, you won't, but possibly you're not really allowed to go in his garden, right, without permission. That's more the problem.
So you get a shus, like, I'm saying.
You get a shus to walk in, let's say, I have my, tell him my ball flew over and you go and fetch your ball and you want to do the mitzvah. That's a very good question. I'm not sure.
And if you send away the mother bird, do you have to do a nice kinyan note on these
eggs? Yes.
Or in that case, is the chotzer then automatically going for you?
Oh, very good. That was another shayla. That was a shayla which I haven't found a clear answer to it. The Dayan Paskin, the Dayan Chaim Krauss Paskin, that it's enough to have now kabona that my chotzer should acquire it on my behalf. You don't literally need to be kind of pick it up. All the Torah wants is should belong to you. But that's a very good shayla. I need to think about that. So that was in regard to the Gemara's answer. Following that, the Ran says, if from when the mother bird laid the eggs, at any point she flew up just a little bit higher than touching onto the young, at that moment my chotzer is now koine on my behalf, and the mitzvah cannot be performed anymore. So we're going to have a look at this in a second. But the poskim say that one doesn't have to be worried that the mother bird just flies off. She's obviously going to stay protecting there all the time. That's on the birds which the Gemara was talking about, which is not pigeons, which we're going to talk about, which those type of birds, the mother was always present. There's no reason why should she leave. She wants to protect the young. But this raises a big problem in the pigeons which we have amongst us, because as we said, that every morning she leaves. Even the morning after she laid those eggs, you might think she wants to stay another day with them. She's off already and the father's present. So from when she flies off, my chotzer acquires now the eggs on my behalf and it's no more hefka. So how can I perform the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen in its back garden?
Can you have a das that you don't want it to be koina?
Very good, very, very good. So this is what the poskim give a etzah. When you see the birds starting to form a nest in your back garden, so you should announce that I don't want my chotzer to be koin on my behalf. The chotzer is like my shliach, and it can't do anything against my will. So if I say I don't want it to be koin, it will not be koin on my behalf. Now that raises a bit of a problem, because that would help as long as you catch it on time. If you only realize that nest after it had laid the eggs and the mother flew off already, then what will you do then? But the poskim say that you can even in hindsight cancel the kinyan. Mean like this: if a person has receives an item from the shliach as a present, zochen adam shlei b'vono, he can always say, oh, I never wanted that present, and then he never was koine in hindsight. So even if he only realizes the nest much later, at a later point, he can say, oh, I never wanted my chotzer to be koine on my behalf. I wanted it to stay hafka.
You have that on Pesach.
Sorry?
You have that on Pesach.
On Pesach. I didn't want my chotzer to be koine, and that would help you. So that's an etzah. You can always say, I didn't want my chotzer to be koine on my behalf. Some poskim say this is questionable, that today no one has any interest in eggs. In the old the times of the Gemara, everything was precious, and an egg was precious, and another egg was precious. Today, who cares about the eggs in the back garden? You only care about it in regard to the mitzvah. So no one really wants to be koine it in the first place. This is very questionable, because when we said before that the chotzer won't koina against your will, but it might not be against his will. It's all it is he doesn't need it. But we don't see that the chotzer won't acquire it. And some poskim suggest this as a way. And in that case, that would answer your question, that according to that opinion, no, it's still a question, really, because if he wouldn't want, meaning we never know what the owner really wanted. So you can't know where he's holding. But there's another etzah which you mentioned before, as if even you would be koine it, you can afterwards go in front of either one person or three people and say, I would like to be mafke. I want those birds now to belong to hafke, those chicks, to be able to perform the mitzvah Shiluach HaKen. And as we said before, the some poskim don't like this, because once you acquired it, you can't make it hafke anymore.
Yenim could.
Sorry?
But Yenim could.
Yenim could?
Somebody else could. So you might not be able to do it.
And no one could.
No one could. Because as long as you've been owned by somebody.
Once it's owned by a private person, right. Then you can't be mafkid. Right. The only thing would be is if you somehow make it escape. But I don't know practically how you work that out. Now, it's important to note...
property, if it's on that thing, if you sell it, then...
So, again, according to those pricing, it won't help you, because once, at any stage, it belonged to you, it won't help now to be mafkid, right?
Yeah, but you said you can mafkid something, but I think selling it...
What the Poiskim are saying that you can't, they're not saying you can't be mafkid. They're saying it won't help to be able to perform the mitzvah shiloh haken, which means you can't be mafkid all your items, however much you want. Just it won't help to be considered now kiyikori. Once it's left kiyikori and it's called mezumen, you can't make it again kiyikori. It's a separate halacha and shiloh haken that mafkir, does mafkir help or not help? It's a separate shiloh. Now, it's very important to be aware that all this which we have discussed by Kin and Chotz in the back garden, we're talking about this is when the person, it belongs privately to this person, meaning he's not a tenant in the place. He's a landlord. If the person is only a tenant, it's much more complicated, because there's a general shaila, when there's a tenant, who is koine with Kin and Chotz? Is a Kin and Chotz acquiring the items on behalf of the tenant or on behalf of the landlord? So how do we look at it? So the accepted mahalach in the poiskim is that we do consider it for the tenant, as long as he's properly a proper tenant, not just that he's allowed to go in to put his items, but a proper tenant living there, the chotzer will acquire it on behalf of the tenant. Now, in our case, when we want a tenant, this is very common in Yerushalayim. Many people are tenants in their diras, and you hear lots of times they have pigeons just in the little melpesa there, which they call, forming nests very commonly. And the tenant now would like to be mekayem mitzvah shiloh haken, and it's in his melpesa, in his balcony. So the balcony belongs to him. Should we say that the balcony is koin on his behalf? So we gave an answer before. You could say, I don't want my balcony to be koin on my behalf. Yeah, but you're only a tenant. So if you don't want it to be koin on your behalf, so automatically the chotzer will now jump back and give it to the landlord.
Why? He still has the chotzer. He wasn't mafkid the chotzer. He's just saying, I don't want it to be koin on.
Very good. So the thing is like this, that the chotzer really can be koin either for the tenant or for the landlord. The tenant gets the main first right, but if he doesn't want it, he'll still go for the landlord, because it does belong to the landlord as well, right?
They both have the time kinyan. He's renting it, it doesn't.
He still has a kinyan, because the tenant only has, it's called a kinyan peiros, and the kinyan haguf, which means the actual guf, still belongs to the landlord. And because even if he says, I'm quitting, so he's quitting himself on his kinyanim, but there's still the kinyan haguf for the landlord, which automatically will go to him now. So it's a little bit more complicated now. How do you perform the mitzvah of your tenant? So you have to start contacting your landlord and ask him, can you please announce as well that you don't want your chotzer to be koin on your behalf? Generally, it's hard to get a hold of a landlord, but if you can, then that would be an answer. Sorry?
It's a goy, it'll be a bit awkward.
If it's a goy, yeah, so then there's a big shayla in the poiskim. Is a goy koin with kinyan chotzer? That's a big machlekes in the poiskim. Is kinyan chotzer koin for a goy? Many places can say not, but some say yes.
What about communal building?
What's that, sorry?
What about communal building? Say a bird started building a nest in the grounds of a shul.
That's a very good question. So who does it belong to? So you need the whole kehillah to say we don't want it. That would be very complicated. Unless if you use the other hat of the poskim, which they say that today, for sure in a shul, who wants the eggs? You come to shul, you're not trying to get the eggs. So as well, the poskim say then by tenants, they rely more on the heter, which we mentioned before, that today no one's really interested. If you ask the landlord, you say, I don't even live in this area, I don't even care, I didn't want it to be koine.
Doesn't want the nest there in the first place.
It doesn't want it there, exactly. It's just making a mess and spoiling a place. So
Has he got priority for the mitzvah?
Who, the landlord?
Yeah, I'm saying if he doesn't want it, then he shouldn't have priority.
So basically, we're asking Shai like this: when we have a nest which belongs to, which is Hefka, who gets priority to be able to do mitzvah? So generally we say the person, the tenant living there, he has the right now of anything which is, he paid the rent, so he cannot do anything which is there.
But he quitted his rights.
He quitted his right that my chotza shouldn't be coined on my behalf. Yeah, but
it's not
belonging to him, so the nest doesn't belong to him. It so also doesn't belong to the landlord.
Right.
It's a good point to mention, but being that he has the permission to be there, so then one would assume that he has the first right to be able to do it.
Another landlord.
What do you say?
Another landlord. Because I didn't rent you that right. I rented you the property.
Yeah, so we should be zeicha b'ez Hashem to be mekayim the mitzvahs of Shiluach HaKen and all other mitzvahs properly. Thank you very much.
I did it once. I left the road and I did it.